Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus, our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
You guys doing good tonight? Did you enjoy worship? Felt so good to be in the presence of God. All right, we're going to jump in tonight. You guys ready? Hope so. I'm ready. We're going to continue in our series tonight. If you haven't been with us, we've been in a series throughout the book of Psalms, and our series is titled All of Life, talking about just bringing all of our life to Jesus. And so tonight, we're going to continue on in that, and we're going to be looking at one of David's psalms. And before we get into it, I'm going to have to give you a little bit of a backdrop, backstory, so that you have context for what we're getting into. Does that sound good? Can you track with me for a little bit of context? Okay, so how many of you have heard of David in the Bible before? You've heard of David. Yeah, we've all heard of David. Okay, well, if you know anything about the life of David, David was chosen and anointed by God as a young shepherd to become the king of Israel. And so he's anointed by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David, this incredible moment where the Spirit comes upon him, the prophet anoints him, and he rises in prominence after he defeats Goliath. How many of you have remembered the story of David and Goliath? You've heard that story. He kills Goliath, and he begins to serve in King Saul's court, and he quickly becomes successful. Is this mic still going in and out? Is it up here? Okay. He quickly becomes successful, and the successes that once earned Saul's applause quickly became a source of jealousy. So Saul sees David in action, and he's so impressed that he's like, come join my team. And I want to tell you that people will often celebrate your victories until it feels like they diminish theirs. I'm going to say it again. People will often celebrate your victories until your victories feel like it's diminishing their victories. And so Saul becomes jealous of David. And so he begins to chase him down, spending years trying to kill him. How fun is that? David's pumped. So David had to learn what it meant to trust God while he was living on the run. And so eventually we see in 2 Samuel 2 that David is now anointed as king over Judah. And then in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, he is officially anointed as king over all of Israel. And so, quick side note, it was around 20 years between his private anointing and his public anointing. 20-year span. He's anointed as a young shepherd out in the field, and a 20-year journey until finally he's publicly anointed as king. So, just a side note for you, don't allow your ambition to outrun God's grace on your life. We often get frustrated when we allow our ambition to get ahead of God. Can I tell you that God knows exactly where to find you when he needs you? He knows your address. He knows what you're up to. He knows how to get a hold of you. Walter Butler once wrote, "To hurry God is to find fault with him." To hurry God is to find fault with him. God found David when David's own father kept him out in the field. People can relegate you to different places trying to put you out. God can find you there. Humans don't have the ability to keep God from breaking into your life. He can find you wherever you are. So my encouragement to you is stay in your lane. Work where God has you. He found David out as a shepherd in the field with the flock. He found Elisha plowing the field. The anointing found them there. The anointing can find you. The anointing of God can find you. Stay in your lane. So God establishes David and gives him victories, and he makes this covenant with him, and he says, your throne will be established forever. Your throne is going to be established forever. But you see, later in David's life, he starts making some mistakes. He makes some serious mistakes, and sin creeps into his storyline, and it brings real consequences into his family. How many of you know sin has consequences? Sin has consequences. And so one of the consequences in David's life was his son Absalom. And Absalom ends up turning against his father David. And the Bible says that Absalom stole the hearts of the people. And he led a conspiracy and a rebellion against his father. So here we see David, the king of Israel, is now forced to flee Jerusalem. He's betrayed, he's outnumbered, and he's unsure of what is going to happen next. You guys in the story? So as David's fleeing in 2 Samuel 15, we see he goes up the Mount of Olives, he's weeping, he's barefoot, his head is hung down in shame. There are those with him that are also weeping as they ascend. And along the way, David is met with both loyalty and opposition. Loyalty and opposition. Some remained faithful to David, while others, like Shimei, cursed him and began to throw stones at him, basically saying, your downfall is deserved. Your downfall is deserved. So it's in this context and in this moment, while David is running for his life, that he pens and prays what we read tonight out of Psalm chapter 3. Can I read it to you? This is the Psalm of David. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Stop right there for a moment. The title of this message tonight is When You're Surrounded. When You're Surrounded. What we find in the life of David and so many others throughout the scriptures, we find that the touch of God on a person's life does not keep them from extremely difficult or even despairing circumstances. You can be anointed as king and fleeing for your life in tears. Just because God touches your life doesn't mean you're gonna live a life free of difficulty. So David is anointed by God, king of Israel, running for his life in tears. I would go so far to say that the anointing will actually put you in those kind of situations. The anointing puts you in situations where you actually need the anointing. That's what the anointing does. It puts you in situations where you are desperate and dependent upon the power of God. And so we see here that David's son has conspired against him, stolen the hearts of the people. And David's prayer at the beginning is, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. He's basically saying there's more against me than I can count. I can't count that high. That's how many people are against me. And now, I don't know if any of us have been in that situation where your child has led a conspiracy against you. Most of you don't have kids. I have kids. Now, I kind of know what it feels like to be driving down the road, see my kids whispering in the back seat. I'm like, they're up to something. They're conspiring against something, but it's usually like how we're going to get a snack when we get home or how we're going to get dad to let us watch a movie. It's not like a flat-out rebellion. I'm going to steal the hearts of his people and lead a rebellion against him. It's usually like, how are we going to get dad to let us watch Minions again? Like, that's what's happening. And so I know, like, comparison is not a healthy way to live, right? But sometimes it's helpful to just kind of compare my bad days to David and be like, man, my bad days aren't that bad. Someone left a mean comment on my Instagram post. Someone didn't invite me to their birthday party. They didn't send the text and ask me to come to the movie. Now, rejection's rejection, but there are layers. You see what I'm saying? There's layers to the rejection. There are levels to the rejection. And so, nevertheless, even if we've never experienced this exact situation that David is going through, most of us can relate to that feeling that all the odds are stacked against us. I can only imagine in some aspects of your life and seasons of your life and moments of your life, you've had a moment where you felt like, man, everything is coming against me. There may not be a literal army coming against you, but it sure does feel like it. Can I get a witness in the house, or is it only me who's felt that way? Right? I know I don't have an army coming, but man, it sure feels like they're knocking on my door. It feels like they're surrounding my house. I feel trapped. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. I feel like they are coming close. You see, David is externally surrounded by his enemies, and external challenges and pressures can be extremely difficult on us. The external pressure is very real, but there's a deeper battle that's happening, and the deeper battle is the narrative that it creates inside of you. The external pressure is real, but the deeper battle is, what is the story you're believing in your inner dialogue? What is the narrative you're feeding on? Verse 2, David says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. I just want to say to you tonight that the powers of darkness are tyrants. They're tyrants. They are masterful at capitalizing on our mistakes and creating a narrative that tries to lead us into despair. The enemy would love for nothing more than you to abdicate your hope and fall into despair. And they're masterful at bringing up your past to you. How many of you have repented of sin genuinely only a week later for the enemy to hurl assault at you, trying to bring up things in your life? The enemy will haunt you. He's a tyrant. He offers us these clickbait headlines that disrupt the algorithm of our thought life. And all of a sudden now we're feeding on this narrative. Our mind starts scrolling. God has abandoned me. There's no help for me. I deserve this. My life is over. I should just throw in the towel. I'm destined to fail. You see, the enemy wants to get that kind of thinking in your mind. He wants to get you caught up in that narrative. It's what he's trying to do to David. They're just harassing him. There's no salvation for your soul. You're done. God has abandoned you, David. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil. How many of you know you have an adversary? You do. You have an adversary. You have someone who hates your guts because of who lives inside of you. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, I've said it already, we may not have people chasing us down, but I can only imagine you've got a host of wrong narratives trying to take you captive. Wrong narratives swirling around in the airwaves, trying to get you to latch on to the lie to lead you into a place of despair. You've gone too far. You've done too much. You're useless. There's no help for you. You're misunderstood. You'll always be misunderstood. You're never going to get a job. You're never going to have a family. You're never going to get married. Fill in the blank. Those narratives swirling around constantly, just waiting for you to come into agreement with that narrative. You see, the enemy works through fear. Everybody say fear. The enemy works through fear. Now, there are natural fears, and then there is the spirit of fear. I need you to know there is a thing called the spirit of fear. Paul had to tell Timothy, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So there are natural fears. Like for David, natural fear would say, I'm in danger. Someone's chasing me. I need to run. Natural fear for me is if I see a snake on the ground, I'm out. I hate them. They scare me. Can't help it. Trying to become brave, but they scare me. So for David, that natural fear is like, hey, I'm in danger. I need to run. People are chasing me. The spirit of fear says God has abandoned you. Do you see the difference? Some fears can actually save your life. You don't run out onto Ellis over here because you're afraid you'll get hit by a car. That fear helps you make a wise decision and in turn saves your life. There are some fears you shouldn't ignore. That's a good fear. It helps me make wise choices. But the spirit of fear is different. The spirit of fear tries to rewrite God's character in your inner life. The spirit of fear wants to rewrite God's character in your inner dialogue. It wants to disrupt your thinking. It's this kind of fear grows best in the soil of unbelief. This kind of fear grows best in the soil of unbelief. It leads to despair, to hopelessness, to depression, to panic, and every other emotionally chaotic word you can find in the dictionary. That's what this kind of fear is trying to lead you to. But it's not God talking, it's the tyrant talking to you. You've got to lean in with me tonight. You got to learn to discern the voice. You got to learn to discern the voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Therefore, they won't respond to the other voice. They won't respond to the wrong voice. You got to learn to discern the shepherd's voice in your life. Otherwise, the spirit of fear will have its hook in you. And when you are going through tough situations and challenges, you will walk yourself straight into the pit of despair. Amen. You got to learn to discern the voice of the deceiver. You've got to discern the roar of that lion who is looking for someone to devour. You see, what's worse than a son conspiring against David's life is the lie that God has run out of help for his soul. That's the worst narrative. You see, David isn't just surrounded by an army. He is. But he's under a narrative that is trying to crush his spirit. I can only imagine some of you are living under a narrative right now that's trying to crush your spirit. You've been going through stuff in your life. It's been a challenging few months, and you can't pinpoint what it is you're going through. I want to tell you, it's the spirit of fear tormenting your life. It's the wrong narrative trying to get inside of you. And somewhere along the way, you maybe have bought into the lie, but tonight we sever it. Come on, tonight we sever it. We sever the tie with it. Tonight we come out from underneath that narrative. So my question to you is, what do you do when you're surrounded? How do you respond? How do you respond when you are surrounded externally and having a narrative trying to be pressed upon your life? You see, if there is someone whom the enemy can devour, there must also be someone whom he can't devour. I'm going to say that over this side. If there's someone he can devour, then there must be someone that he is unable to devour. Because he's looking, it says he's roaming around. He's looking for someone to devour because everyone he comes across is not devourable. How do you and I become one who cannot be devoured? That's who God is, that's who he's inviting us to become tonight. He's saying, I want you to become one. As the enemy comes around and he knocks on your door and he sees you, he recognizes something in you, and he sees, yeah, your flesh, but he sees something greater on the inside of you. He says, oh, I don't know. I can't even waste my time. They're not devourable. They've bought into the truth. They know who they are. And they know whose they are. I can't. So they go to different houses. Why? Because you're not devourable. I want to remind you tonight of what Paul said to the Corinthian church. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. If fear grows best in the soil of unbelief, what happens when it tries to plant itself in the soil of faith? When we look at this prayer and we begin to dissect what's happening in David's life, we see that David is not acting like nothing's wrong. He's not denying the problem. He doesn't deny the fact that he's surrounded. He acknowledges that his enemies are chasing him down. He acknowledges that there's more than he can count. They're hurling accusations at him left and right. The betrayal is real. The threats are real. He's really running for his life. And I can only imagine, at least for a brief moment, he had to begin to question, are they right? Has God just abandoned me and left me to die? Am I really on my own? I have to imagine that he's gone through that in the tears and the weeping. As the Bible says, his head was covered. It was bent down in shame. He was looking down. You ever been around someone who's lacking so much confidence and insecure? And they got so much shame in their life, they can't look you in the eyes. They just kind of look down. They don't know if they look at you for a second, they look down. Well, David, his head was hung down. I can only imagine. Even if it was for a brief moment, those questions started swirling around inside of him. But before he allows unbelief to become the soil that this narrative plants itself in, he counters the storyline and he puts on the belt of truth. You see, David flips the script and he lifts his voice, saying, God, I know they're on my heels and I know what they're saying, but, verse 3, you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. David knew how to interrupt the wrong narrative. We get caught up, you and I, we get caught up because we allow the wrong thoughts to hold too much space inside of us. What you tolerate in your mind will start to dominate your life. What you tolerate in your mind will eventually dominate your life. We let those things linger far too long. If you look back at some of your biggest mistakes or when you've been trying really hard to get free of something and then you finally make that mistake, if you really begin to dissect things and you begin to look at the pattern, if you went back and could see how long did you let the thought linger before you did the action? You let it linger too long. It took up too much space. And so when the spirit of fear begins to amplify the wrong story, we've got to do what David did. I cried aloud to the Lord. He answered me from his holy hill. Some of you got to learn to rumble. You're like, rumble, what does that mean? Rumble. It means you got to learn to pray with some unction. You got to learn to lift your voice, man. Some of you, right, you may never be a preacher on a stage, but you got to learn to preach to yourself. And you got to let every spirit lingering around you become aware that you're a messenger of the message, Jesus himself. And if you begin to proclaim him long enough, they leave, because that's what happens. When Jesus gets mentioned, demons leave. They can't stick around. And so you got to learn, you got to get some holy warfare up inside of you so that when the spirit of fear comes knocking at your door, something rises up inside of you that can interrupt the narrative. I don't care if you're introverted. When you are in spiritual warfare, this is not the time to let your personality type direct your praying. Well, I'm just a 4, I'm a 7, I'm a 9, I'm an INFP, ENFT, J75, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter, I don't give a rip. If you're going through war, you gotta learn to lift your voice. Don't let a personality test tell you how you should pray. Let the Bible tell you how to pray. Let the Spirit of God inside of you that says it has groans. I don't have words. Let the Spirit of God intercede through you. David, I'm surrounded by my enemies, but God is a shield that covers me on all sides. God is my glory. He's my strength. He's my confidence. When the enemy heaps despair on my life, causes me to look down towards the dirt in defeat, God, you are the lifter of my head. David writes in Psalm 27, he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. You can sing a song of worship when hell's breaking loose all around you. When life starts weighing on you and tries to lower your perspective, lift up your eyes. Look to the mountains from where your help comes from. He will keep your feet. Your God never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always watching, always attentive. You don't have to fight for his attention. His eyes are on you. At the very moment your heart decides to turn towards him, he rushes in. You weren't even able to get the prayer out, and God is by your side. It's the prodigal son running, coming home, walk of shame. Don't you think his head was down? And his father, oh, come on, the glory and the lifter of his head, dead sprints to him. He tries to muster out this prayer. He's trying to muster out his confession. He's trying to tell him, Father, I've sinned. What does he do? He lifts up his head. No. You, my son, were lost. Now you're found. Someone go get the robe, get the ring, bring him back into the family. He's walking in shame. I won't let him do that. I'm going to lift up his head. He is your keeper. He will keep your going out and your coming in. You see, when everything around David says panic, he declares truth and he lies down. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. What's keeping you up at night? It's causing you to lose sleep. Is it your finances? He's your provider. Is it sickness? He's your healer. Is it shame? He's your forgiveness. Is it despair? He's your hope. Relational challenges? He's your reconciler. Uncertainty about your future, he's your guide. Anxiety, he's your peace. Fear of failure, He's your confidence. Feeling alone, he's with you to the end of the age. Accusation, he's your defender. Weariness, he's your strength. Confusion, he's your wisdom. You see, David did not deny his problems. He let the character of God redefine them. There's a revelation of God in every single one of the problems you're facing. I'm not saying God caused those problems. I'm saying you can find a new facet of who he is in the midst of every challenge and difficulty you're going through. Don't waste that challenge. Don't fall into despair. Fall into the arms of your Father. Find a new side of his face in the challenge. Find a new facet of his mercy, of his grace, of his strength, of his power. Some of you need to make some wild declarations tonight. You need to let God redefine your problems. David was able to rest in the midst of great vulnerability. He was being harassed and chased down. I don't know about you, but if I knew an army was coming against me, the last thing I would do is go to sleep. I don't think I could. I would be so nervous. I hear a little noise outside my window, and I, what's that? It's a possum back there. The smallest things, but David has an army coming against him. He says, I laid down. I slept and I woke up because the Lord sustained me. You see, the roaming lion of fear came to propagate a false storyline, but David resolved to remain convinced of God's reliability over his life. Tonight, as we lead up to Easter, can I tell you that there was someone else who laid down and slept and woke back up? The Bible calls him the Son of David. He's the greater David. He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. Every knee on heaven and on earth will bow, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He was surrounded, he was betrayed, he was accused his entire life. Threats on every level. What did he say? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. I don't know what it is you're going through, but I know what he went through. I know what he went through. And I know that if you have called upon the name of Jesus, the same power that raised him up out of that pit called the grave lives inside of you. It says this crazy thing, the book of John. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He is Yahweh in the flesh. That's who Jesus is. He is the I am of Exodus. The God who spoke from the fiery bush to Moses. I am that I am. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Are you facing a wall you don't know how to get through? I am your breakthrough. You got bills you don't know how to pay? I am your provision. You got sin and shame and guilt taunting you day and night, harassing you? I am your forgiveness. I am your cleansing. I am your mercy. I am your grace. Whatever you are going through, Jesus says, I am. I am. Let him redefine your problems. Don't fall into the despair. Interrupt the narrative. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Jesus is on the cross, harassed. He said if he would destroy the temple, build it again. Said he's the Son of God. Save yourself. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Jesus wants to be the I am of your story. I want the band to come back up. Preach a quick message tonight. At least it felt quick. I only had one point. We got one point tonight. We got to do business with the spirit of fear. Wrong narratives swirling around your life. Spirit of fear trying to torment you. Tonight, you got to cry aloud. You got to start proclaiming truth tonight. You got to stop worrying about what the person next to you thinks about your voice. That's the spirit of fear. We'll always try to keep you boxed in, try to put you in a prison, try to keep you enclosed, try to keep you from taking the step of risk. Don't you think the God who delivered David will deliver you? Don't you think the God who delivered Jesus will deliver you? I'm not telling you life will be perfect, but I'm telling you, you can be like Jesus asleep in the boat while the storm is raging. You can be like David. I laid down. I went to sleep and I woke up because the Lord sustained me. What are you going through? What's keeping you up? What's tormenting you? What's surrounding you? Tonight's the night. Interrupt the narrative. Interrupt the flow of that story. They're telling me I'm never going to make it. But God, you're my glory and the lifter of my head. I won't be afraid. This addiction has been whispering in my ear, taunting me, holding me back for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 3 years, 2 months, saying you'll never get over this, you'll never overcome. This will lead to your demise. This will end your life. I know the story, God, but you're my glory and the lifter of my head. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to move into fear. I'm not going to let that narrative be planted in the soil of unbelief in my life. No. I'm going to let that plant wither and die in the soil of faith tonight. What happens when the spirit of fear tries to plant itself in the soil of faith? It withers and dies. It can't stand. Will you stand up with me tonight? I hope you came ready to do business tonight. I hope you didn't come to observe. I'm not going to let you off the hook. I care too much about you. Now, come on, look at me for a second. Don't look around. Look at me. Look at me. I care too much about you to let you just observe. You didn't come here tonight just to hear an encouraging message and hope you can get through another day. No, you came here tonight to do business. Maybe you didn't know that. God brought you here for that very reason. He came to remind you that he's for you. He came to tell you that I am that I am. That whatever you're going through, he is. Whatever you need, he is. Wherever you feel weak, he's your strength tonight. And so we're going to do what David did. We're going to cry aloud in worship. Come on, we don't wage war by fleshly means. When the enemy is throwing accusation at you, your warfare when the enemy is hurling accusations before the Father to you, do you know what Jesus does? He shows the scars and the wounds, and they speak a better word over your life. What do you need to declare tonight? Do you need to declare tonight that he's your glory and the lifter of your head? I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm not going to let you observe. You don't have to come all the way front to the front, but you can. I'm going to ask though people either come to the front or just step out a little bit. I just need you to take a step somewhere. I don't want you to stay stationary. I just need you to, just move. This is signifying I'm moving. I'm moving out of the wrong narrative. I'm moving out from underneath that thing. I'm stepping into something different. I'm not allowing the tyrant of fear to keep dominating my life. I'm stepping to the side. I'm getting out from underneath it. Come on, if you don't feel like a preacher, become a preacher tonight. Preach to yourself. Preach yourself out of despair. Yourself out of fear. Pray yourself out of that narrative. Declare tonight, come on. I care about you too much. I want to stir you up tonight. I believe the Spirit of God brought you here to change your story. The external pressure may not change, but the inner dialogue can. The army may not leave you yet, but the narrative can shift in your mindset. You could be going through hell and sing a new song of worship. It freaks the enemy out because he's saying, wait a minute, I've tormented your generation for years. I tormented your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-great-great-grandparents. What's happening? I used to get them. It's not getting you anymore. You're severing the tie. You're breaking an agreement. Saying, spirit of fear, you no longer write my story. You no longer define my life. There's someone else who has a greater story at work. His name is Jesus. And when everything looked like defeat in his life, he won a cosmic battle, shifted everything. Whatever you're in tonight, Jesus can pull you out. Come on, I need every hand lifted to heaven tonight. Every hand lifted to heaven. Father, tonight we look to you. We lift our eyes off of our problems and onto you, King Jesus. We look to you, the Lamb of God, seated on the throne, the one defeated death, hell, and the grave. We declare tonight you're our glory and the lifter of our head. We will not be afraid of those surrounding us. We're breaking our agreement. tonight, we're telling that tyrant he must leave. And we are enthroning Jesus upon our praises tonight. Every hand lifted, I want you to begin to tell Jesus, if you don't know what to say, just tell him he's your glory and the lifter of your head. Just begin to thank him for lifting up your head tonight. Thank him for being your strength tonight. Thank him for being your forgiveness tonight. Thank him for being your mercy tonight. Thank him for being your healing tonight. Come on, get a cry in your heart of worship. Get a cry in your heart of thanksgiving.
Listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.